What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 17, Outreach Athletic Trainers for March 21st, 2012. With us today, we're going to have Bubba Wilson from Memorial Hermann. He's an outreach athletic trainer. He's been in the profession for 21 years. He is the current TSATA Region Board of Director. Is that right? He's on the Regional Board of Directors. He was a past president of GHAS, which is something we've talked about several different times, so the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society, which is a ginormous workshop that's put on every year for the student athletic trainers in our area. And so he was a president for that for I don't know how long.
I was the two-term president, so 4 years total.
4 years total, and he termed out?
Yes.
All right. So I guess that's pretty good introduction of Bubba there, and real quick. With, of course, I am Jackson, and you have...
Doc Hale.
I'm Sarah.
And then you're Bubba.
Yep, that's me.
I'm Alondra.
I'm Aldo.
Hey, it's Anna.
We got Michelle and Brian back there taking pictures, recording stuff, that kind of thing. So, got a, as always, lots of stuff going on, full crowd. So, all right, on to the warm-up. Usually we try to do the warm-up before, but I think it's great to do it with the guests. So we wanted to talk about building a relationship because Bubba works for Memorial Hermann, right? This is your first year with Memorial Hermann?
Yes.
Okay. And so what Memorial Hermann has done is partnered with Pasadena ISD to, like, they kind of sponsor the school district. Do you have more details about that?
We're the official healthcare provider of Pasadena ISD Athletics is our official title, I guess you would say. Basically, what we're here to do is support Pasadena ISD athletics and try to help give the athletes, along with the athletic trainers, the best care possible.
All right. And so what they've kind of done is they've streamlined the process for us getting a kid to the doctor. So real quick, I'm going to share my story as an athletic trainer. This is my eighth year as a professional athletic trainer. So I started off in Fort Bend, and in Fort Bend, there was you know, kind of whatever doctor was closest, whatever doctor you chose to send your kids to was that. And so, you know, I used a guy named Dr. Brown, and he would do the physicals, and that's where I would send the kids. And then I started using Richmond Bone and Joint because I guess they had more doctors and more opportunities available. So I would start sending kids there, and it was close to where I was in Fort Bend. And so it was kind of, you know, hit or miss whether or not I got feedback from them, whether or not the kids went, whether or not they, you know, we communicated on what was going on. So then after 3 years there, I come here to Pasadena, and it's just a completely different culture. Going to the doctor is optional for a lot of students, a lot of student athletes. And so for our first 3 years, my first 3 years here, it was kind of like, all right, well, go see your doctor. We didn't say, hey, here's this doctor we would prefer you to go to. We were just like, all right, we'll go see your normal doctor, and then, you know, he'll refer you to whoever and get it checked out. And then Dr. Kolstad started coming to a lot of our games, and mm-hmm. So, you know, we were sending a lot of people to him because we'd kind of built the relationship with him. He would come check up on us, and he was doing like a Wednesday clinic thing. And so it was easy because we had something in place like, all right, if you're not, you know, if you're injured during the week, go see him on Wednesday. If you're injured...
We were using multiple doctors along with Kolstad. So, I mean, we used Elahi and with Methodist, and, you know, we used several of them. So, I mean, we were using Kolstad was the main one, but, I mean, he got himself so busy that it's kind of hard to get to him. So we ended up using a lot of doctors.
Yeah,
so.
I think you have to, though, just because of the way insurance is now.
Yeah,
you know, it used to be when I started, one guy, you just go see him, they took everything, and that's not the case anymore. And again, you know, I may be jumping the gun on a answer to a question, but it's still, you're not the parent of that kid, and that parent still has the final say into where they're going and what they're going to do. All you can do is recommend and nudge, and, you know, but we can't necessarily strong arm somebody into going to see him.
Yeah, I know. It's for a long year, many years before Jeremy came here, I've had contract trainers working with me, assistants. We went through a whole series of orthopedics, and I think Pasadena is kind of like where a new orthopedic would come in and work with the district and then expect a lot of things from the district, and then they get so darn busy that they can't stay with our help that we go to another orthopedic. You know, another orthopedic comes in, like Colstadt came in, kind of pushed another one out of the way, and, you know, rough. People get a little offended,
right,
that, you know, we're not sending kids to them, and, you know, we lose our confidence in them a little bit, you know, not mention names or anything, but we lose confidence in some of the orthopedics because of, you know, they may not have the best bedside manner, they don't work with the schools very well, you know, all different things that they just, you know, they can't see the kids, can't fit them in, and then we're sitting there, and then we get in that option where, you know, okay, well, I want you to go to this doctor, but I can't get you in, you know, for
right.
another month. And, you know,
right.
so we ended up, you know, and then plus our kids don't have a lot of insurance, so it just makes it hard for just using the student insurance. So it makes it really hard.
It's a different dynamic altogether. And
yeah. So.
There's no cookie cutter method to all this.
No.
If you could create one, you'd be a millionaire, but it doesn't work.
But this year's been really nice, you know, with Memorial Hermann, so.
Yeah, that was the summing up of, you know, our little warm-up was we built that relationship. We formed a streamlined pattern. So now if I have a kid, then I can call Virginia over at Dr. Kirby's office, and she knows who I am. She's like, okay, this is one of the Pasadena ISD athletes. We're going to get them in as soon as possible. You know, or if I have a question, I can call Bubba. Or, you know, I can actually have Dr. Crumby's cell phone number. So, you know, if it's something that I need to talk to Dr. Crumby right away, I can call or text him.
And we have access to the emergency room at Memorial Hermann.
Yeah,
so
right.
That makes it a whole bunch better. I mean, when we can actually call over the emergency room and say we have a such-and-such athlete coming, and they're waiting for them.
Right. And, you know, and our goal is to give you the best care possible. There's going to be bumps in the road.
Yeah.
We, you know, nothing's perfect again. But, you know, my job is to help smooth those out. And if I can't smooth them out, I can go up the chain and try to get somebody that can smooth those situations out. And, I you know, I play a little bit of on the fence because I'm with the hospital, but I also am with Dr. Crumby. And so I can go to both sides of that and go, okay, what's – you know, they got a question on this. I'm just trying to expedite things and speed up the process and get answers and information. And I think, you know, over time it's just going to get better.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I would say it's been pretty smooth this first year. You know, there's been some people with questions or concerns, but I don't think we've really – our biggest problem would be with kids not going to the doctor when we send them.
Yeah.
And it's not on y'all's end. It's just on –
I was tired. I didn't want to get up that early.
Oh, there's some parents that say...
they don't need to go.
No,
we can't afford it.
We can't.
Right.
Who's going to pay for it? That's the first thing that comes out of their mouths. Who's going to pay for this?
That's called assumption of risk. You sign down on the physical form, but yeah.
But, you know, it's like, you know, when you tell them they have a school insurance, they think, well, that...
They think it's 100% coverage for everything,
and I keep having to reinforce and tell them that, but, you know, but they still think, oh... You said you were going to pay for it. No.
No. That was it. We gave you that in the form. Oh, I didn't read it. I just signed it so they could participate.
Yeah. That's what they do. They don't read things.
Read? That's, come on.
A little off subject there.
No, that's what this is for. Don't worry about being off subject as long as we kind of stay in general. And
yeah. So, but yeah, this is really a good situation we have now. I mean, I've been in a lot of different situations, so, and it is a lot better. I mean, more cohesive.
I concur. Like I said, streamlined, it's smooth, and I know who to talk to. You know, I call or email Bubba, I don't know, every other week or something with a question, or, you know, asking him to come on the podcast, or what do you think about this, and that kind of thing. So we're in pretty regular contact. He comes by, I don't know, once a month or something like that, just to shoot the breeze and that kind of thing. And Bubba's definitely not short on words, so I don't know if it's shooting a breeze or shooting
you missed that. Yeah, you missed that before we started. That I got on my soapbox already, so...
So, all right, without much further ado, because...
Hey, the only good thing about it, partnering with Memorial Hermann, now there's only one person that comes to visit us.
So. Yeah,
pretty
we're
much.
Getting like three different...
Yeah.
Come on, you don't want the parade of guys like me coming in?
No, they just say, well, you're sending all yours to Memorial Hermann. That's pretty much, yes. Okay, well, I'm not going to come back. Okay.
All right, so now, without... much further ado, we'll get to our much hyped, highly anticipated local hero.
Yeah.
Who? And we'll find out about who, Bubba Wilson is.
Yeah, I'd like to know who really Bubba Wilson is.
Yeah, good luck.
All right, so why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of background. Where are you from, college, sports, that kind of thing, so we have a baseline of who you are.
Full name.
Bubba Wilson, yeah. I grew up in Fort Worth. Sports, no, I was not good at them. I love them. That's why I do what I do now. Like all of us, I think, in the profession, you know, we're all frustrated athletes. Grew up in Fort Worth, went to college at Baylor University. I was just talking to somebody about that the other day. It was probably the greatest time of my life. I think like most everybody that went to college, you've got some of the greatest friends and fondest memories you'll ever have is of that time. And for the 21 years I've been working professionally, 19 of those have been in the Houston area. So I started out, my first job was at New Caney High School. We had a great time. It was one of the places I've worked at where the entire coaching staff liked each other and got along. It didn't matter what sport, we did things together. There's a pond out back of the school. We had fishing tournaments out there to kill time sometimes. They were always competitive and a lot of trash talking. We played a ton of wiffle ball. A couple of coaches and I would go to the athletic director's house. He had a back patio with an 8.5-foot basketball goal in there. We'd remove all the lawn furniture and play. Didn't matter what time of night it was. We'd get in trouble every now and then because we wouldn't put the lawn furniture back, and his wife thought somebody was trying to break into the house. But we had a good time with that. I really enjoyed it there, but I'm an opportunist. And so I got lucky enough to be offered a job a year later at Westfield High School when Coach Emory Ballard was still coaching. And if you don't know who he is, he invented the wishbone offense back in the day with Texas. They won 2 national championships under him. So that was a good experience. If you wanted a definition of an old school football coach, if you look it up in the dictionary, his picture's there. So that was, for a young athletic trainer, that was a great, great learning experience, because there's a lot of things you're not taught in college and you can't be taught in college, and dealing with coaches is one of them. You get some of that, but I learned a lot fast working with him, and it's all good. You can always have the bad stuff you remember, but in the grand scheme of things, you grow from it and you get better, and so it was good. There were some changes going on at the time when he retired. I didn't feel comfortable with the new staff, so I had an option to go to Austin to work in a sports medicine clinic. I did that in Austin for a year, learned some things, some of that we won't put on the air. But it was a good experience overall. That led me to a sports medicine clinic in South Texas for a year. Was a great job in the wrong city. Again, we can't put some of that on the air, some of the issues there. But I will tell you, south of I-10, dead people still vote. It's pretty interesting. They had two political opponents get in an argument, and one of them pulled a gun on the other, and they laughed it off as normal politics, which I guess is kind of apropos right now in the election season that's in place. But
wait.
Yeah, you heard me. They pulled a gun on each other.
Like, was this in front of a camera?
There were no cameras really back then, but they were like debating, so to speak, each other, and they got in an argument, and one pulled a gun on the other. And the community goes, yeah, that's just how it is. That's
politics.
That'd
be like the former presidentials when Rick Perry fumbled through and they made fun of him, then he'd pull a gun out.
He just didn't pull a gun. But, yeah, they pulled a gun. One of them pulled a gun on the other.
All right, right on. Go ahead, continue.
You can't make this stuff up, you know.
If you do, nobody would.
Right, Hollywood can't write a script like some of the things that happened down in that area. But so at that point, I was lucky. I had called actually the athletic director in Spring ISD from when I worked at Westfield and said, I'm ready to come back to Houston. I want to be back on the north side of town. That's what I'm familiar with. Asked him if he had anything open, and he didn't, but he said he'd keep his ear out. And a week later, the AD for Humble ISD called, and the Kingwood High School job was open. So I was lucky enough to get that. Stayed there for 9 years. Had a lot of success. Had a good time, learned a lot there. I think you should learn every day, and you do, whether you know it or not. And then after 9 years, Dr. Lowe called me and offered me a job in his office. And like I said, I'm an opportunist. And so my theory or philosophy on all this is, it's much easier to take the job and find out you don't like it or it's not for you than to not take it and sit around wondering, well, what would I be doing if I was working there? So I didn't want to be sitting in the training room some Saturday or Sunday waiting on a bunch of athletes that were too tired to show up like they promised they would, going, well, you know, if I worked at this job, I wouldn't be having to do this right now. So I worked for him for 4 years. It was a really good job. Just financially, we weren't, because of Baylor College of Medicine, some other stuff, I was losing money going to work every day with gas being a little more expensive than what it is now. So I was lucky enough to take the Kingwood Park job, which was about 3 miles from my house versus 35 from my house, to go to work for Dr. Lowe every day. And so that worked out well. And I didn't have to pay daycare anymore because my daughter could get dropped off at the high school after work, but or after school. And so that went well. And then Memorial Hermann came and offered me this. And like I said, I'd rather do it and find out it's not for me than to wonder if it was for me or not. And it is for me thus far. I'm enjoying what I'm doing and having a lot of fun. And it's a different job altogether than working in a high school, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. We'll get to a little bit about like what you typically do. But I don't think I heard, what college did you go to?
Baylor.
Baylor?
Yeah.
And is there a master's degree or just?
Well, see, I'm old. So when I went through, I'm a PE major. Okay, right. Which I think PE went to kinesiology, which went to movement science, you know, whatever right. politically correct term they, you know, include for that, you know, catalog year. And they are now an accredited program. So it's a true athletic training degree. So it was undergrad, apprenticeship, you know, before the NATA changed their rules, I was able to sit and take and pass the national certification as well.
Well, you're not that old. I did the same route at HBU, so... That was the last class.
Well, we see. Yeah. But I. So.
So I'm old. Not that long ago.
Well, it is for me.
All right. So, Baylor. How's Baylor doing in the. Are they still in the tournament?
They're still playing.
Yeah, still tournament.
Both teams, yeah. But those ugly highlighter yellow uniforms the men's team had on the other day. Oh, but yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they were just.
I thought that was a misprint in the newspaper.
I thought it was a bunch of highlighters running around.
Oh, they're, I don't like them.
Little yellow highlighters on the floor.
Like, but I don't like them, but I'm not a fan of every team having three different helmets now either. So I'm a traditionalist. You know, what they have when you went to school is what you want to see forever. I know things change, but I don't like the white helmets. I don't like the green ones they wear. Just stick with the gold ones, but yeah. No, you got Notre Dame people griping because they changed the color of gold for theirs too. But yeah,
they all gripe about something. So,
right?
Yeah. So, okay. Tell us what your training rooms in all your different places, how they compared, whose was the best, which one was the plush. You know,
in all my different places of what of where I've worked,
yeah, and college and whatever.
Just when I was at Baylor, ours was brutal. But all our facilities at Baylor were bad. The best facilities we had when I graduated was the Ferrell Center, which is where they play basketball. It was nice, but it wasn't that great. Now, remember, right now there's an arms race in college athletics as far as facilities go. Baylor, when I was graduating, they had broke ground and started construction on the end zone facility for football. I didn't get to witness that. We didn't even have lights on our baseball field when I was there. They have that now, obviously. Their new training room at Baylor is phenomenal. They built a football facility just across from campus, and they're actually, Drake McLean just gave them a bunch of money to build a football stadium just across the river from campus, where they're going to build a footbridge over the river to go to the games. So their facilities now are just top of the line, out of this world. Best training room I ever had working was the one I just left at Kingwood Park High School.
Well, it was a brand new school.
Well, actually, no. The school itself is quote unquote brand new, but it was the old freshman campus for Kingwood High School. And so they expanded it and made it a 4-year campus. And when I got there, and I will over exaggerate this a little bit, it was the training room from the freshman campus. So it functioned for one grade. It didn't function for four. So I used to jokingly say that you could stand in the middle, hold your arms out, spin around, and touch all the walls. That was almost accurate.
Kind of like ours.
Yours is a little bigger. But I had a great administration, and they realized the issue. There were some hiccups along the way, but ultimately I was able to take an old wood shop and convert it into an athletic training room. And the main area of the shop that became the training room was 47 feet by 47 feet. Not including the office and one of the storage areas and what we ultimately turned into a physician examination room. Had a garage door entrance from the parking lot, outside entrance, obviously. And they were really great. Once the superintendent saw the issues and what the other campuses had, I did a little packet for him. He got right on taking care of fixing the problem. Is it perfect? No, but from what we had to what we got, it was.
And so you were in a training room. It ended up being almost 2,500 square feet.
It's probably, it was bigger, yeah, because we had some storage space that wasn't included in that measurement.
So that's bigger than the house that I live in.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
And it had huge, tall ceilings.
Bigger than my house.
And so, I mean, it was, you couldn't ask for anything more. And the nice part about it was, is when I was talking to the superintendent about, you know, here's my problems, here's this. He's a solution guy, and he said, what's your solution? Well, luckily I was smart enough to have a solution for him other than, I don't know. And I had drawn something up on the computer, and I said, well, I'd like to take this room. And he goes, well, it's a wood shop. And my associate principal was great, said, well, we don't have a wood shop class. Nobody wants to take the wood shop class. It's hard to find a wood shop teacher these days. And so she said, all we'd have to do is get rid of the curriculum and find the money to renovate it. And he goes, well, what would you do? So I told him what I would do. I said, you know, depending on what the construction people said could be done within this facility and money, here's what I would do. And he goes, all right. And let's see, that was in March, because it's right after spring break about this time. And they started construction the day we started football practice. They started the renovation of the room that August when we started football practice, and we moved in 7 weeks later. And I was in on the design and all the changes and the issues. And I can't say enough about the construction guys, because I'd say, I want to do this. And they'd say, oh, no, you don't want to do that for this reason. Why don't you look at doing this? And, you know, the idea they'd come up with was a lot better. Or I wanted to put an ice machine in this one little room, but that had the outside wall to the parking lot. So you would think the drains would just run to the parking lot. Well, they don't. They go back to the middle of the school. Don't ask me why. So they said, well, you can't do that, but we can do this. So they put a pump in, and it pumped water down the wall in the pipe to the drain versus doing a bunch of digging and screwing things up. But it worked out really, really nice. We were able to put, you know, park our gator in there. We had two ice machines. It functioned well.
So how far off was it from where athletics was?
It was actually probably equal distance between the gym, the locker rooms for the men and women outside sports, and the locker room for football. Because as they expanded, they had to add these things. So it's probably about equal distance to all of them. And so it wasn't that far. It wasn't that much out of the way.
So did they have to travel outside to get to
it? No, there's inside hallway.
Hallway?
Yeah.
Makes it easier. They don't come around, run around in their half nakedness. So.
Right. So, right.
And I'll go back to something more. Who was your college trainer?
Mike Sims, and he's still there.
Mike Sims, okay. Yeah. I was thinking you might have been there before Mike.
No, so. Skip was there before Mike. Skip was the assistant athletic director when I was there.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember Skip. So back when SWAT, I went to Baylor.
Yeah.
I went to Waco, I mean.
Well, my freshman year going into college was the last year it was in Waco.
Wow.
So.
I am older. So.
Okay. I know you're older.
Okay.
All right, so your job changed a little bit, and Sarah has a question for you.
All right.
Oh, describe what your typical weekly schedule is.
My typical weekly schedule now is fluid, and that's kind of nice. And by that, I mean there are two schools that I go to weekly, both of them private schools that do not have an athletic trainer. I go to those schools, and I evaluate their athletes, tell them what I think is going on, what I think they need to do. You know, if they need to go to the doctor and want to go to our people, I can help facilitate those appointments if necessary. And then as I go back, I'll follow up with them. After that, I have a few meetings I have to attend, you know, every other week, depending on what that week is. But then I'm just going out to schools. And so the bulk of my schools have athletic trainers. So I'm not going out to say, hey, you know, you got anybody for me to look at? It's more, what's going on? Have you seen use our services? Any problems we had that I need to work on? At that point, I turn into a marketer, you know, so I'm a hybrid. I'm an athletic trainer and I market at the same time. But realistically, in any job you have, you're marketing yourself every day as an employee. So, you know, there's really nothing different. It's just a little more pronounced now. But I'm going all over. I have Pasadena, Clear Lake, Pearland area is my territory. So I'm going, hitting all those schools, you know, basically down to Galveston and all that.
That's a good way to go.
It's not bad.
All right, so now you do a kind of a, I know you said earlier you're an in-between, so you can work both sides. You work the hospital side, the doctor side, and then you're, I guess you have a third side, is working the training room side.
Right.
And I know you still do some events. You work some of the games and stuff. I know when we had our big tournament here, you worked some of the McDonald's Invitational here.
Right, and I've covered some baseball games for some people and some other stuff, yeah.
And when we had Lachelle from Methodist out here, she said that they cover some of the rodeo and stuff like that. Do y'all do, like, lacrosse and rodeo and
we have some stuff that we are contractually bound to, I guess is the only way to put it. We are the healthcare provider for the Ironman triathlons. So next weekend, actually, I'm going to Galveston to work the Ironman triathlon there, or the triathlon there. The true Ironman Texas, like the big one, is in May in the Woodlands, and we're working that. We worked one this fall in Galveston. And there's some other things we work as well. Those are the bigger ones, you know, that we know are going to happen from year to year. And then we were the official healthcare provider this past summer for the Senior Olympic Games, and that was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my entire life. I worked 9 days at track and field in Humble, and if I'd have known more about it, I would have had my old student trainers out there and track kids shagging shots and disc and javelins for these people, because you've got an 88-year-old man trying to set a world record in the pole vault for his age division at 7'2", and, you know, mad when he doesn't do it. I've got a video on my phone of a 101-year-old man, 99-year-old man winning the hammer throw for his age group. An interesting story on him, at 97, 95, they made him give up his pilot's license or something like that. Maybe he was 101, but they made him give up his pilot's license. 2 years later, he fell off a ladder. It was 99 when he fell off a ladder. He was 99. He fell off a ladder at 99 years old, broke an arm and two legs. The doctor said he wouldn't be able to walk again. He says, oh, what do you know? And 2 years later, he's competing in the Senior Olympic Games again. And so there were some great stories, and we had a lot of fun. They're doing it to stay active and enjoying themselves, where at this level they're griping because they have to go to practice every day, you know.
Right.
And these people are going, this is fun. What else am I going to do? And so it was a really rewarding time with them. And they do everything: basketball, volleyball, tennis, badminton, bowling, swimming, cycling, track and field, softball. They had horseshoes, ping pong. I mean, all these things, and it was a lot of fun.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. All right. So Alondra has another question for you.
Oh, yeah. What is the worst part about your job?
I think it varies. If you say currently the worst part about my job is I don't get to use my skills on a daily basis like you do in an athletic training room in a high school environment. You know, but every job has its positives and negatives, and I think those are different on a daily basis. And in some days, as we all know, that's different from class period to class period or hour to hour. But to me, that's that and the relationships. I have different relationships now. I don't see coaches and kids daily, and you don't get to know them as well and have that interaction. But I've met a lot more people and have a different type of relationship now with a broader base of individuals.
So I have another question. Now that Alondra has asked about the worst part, what's the best part of your job?
Let's go with the new job.
The hours. I wake up now 30 minutes after I used to be at work. Not that there's anything wrong with the hours. I don't think you get into this profession at any setting or level if you're afraid of working hard and working the hours. The best part, though, is the hours, and I say that because my daughter is 15. She plays guitar. She sings. She writes music. She performs. I can take her and watch now, where it used to be I couldn't go a lot of probably 80% of the time because I was having to work at night. So I get to do some things family-wise and schedule some things around family that I used to not be able to do. And my stress level is a lot lower now. I'm not, you know, I used to jokingly say I would never retire. I would die in the training room of a heart attack when I asked that kid why they weren't in for morning treatment. And they said, I had morning treatment, and I just drop over at that point. But my stress is different now. My stress is driving in traffic and, you know, not dealing with a coach that's mad or a parent that's mad because their kid who you haven't seen in 2 weeks for treatment isn't ready to play yet. So, so that's a good part about it.
All right, so you're just talking about driving in traffic, but I believe as part of your package to work with Memorial Hermann, that traffic vehicle that you're driving in is not yours, correct?
The rolling billboard?
Yeah.
No, it is not my personal car.
So you're driving what? Is it a 2011 Tundra?
No, it's a 2009.
Oh, poor
or
baby.
Or 10, I know. Yeah.
Poor baby.
So it's a logoed truck, Memorial Hermann logoed truck, and yes, they pay for the truck, the insurance, and the gas, and the maintenance. So,
and so I would assume switching from working at the high school that it would obviously be looking for an increase in pay. Are you making more now than you were at Kingwood Park?
Yes, I did get a pay raise. If you take what you just said, the biggest pay raise I got today after just filling up the truck is the pay raise from just gas alone.
Right.
But also the benefits are very, very good at Memorial Hermann. I have a chronic disease. I'm a diabetic. And so for me, their insurance was very, very diabetic friendly compared to what I was paying at the school for how, you know, their insurance they had through the district. But, you know, I might go to another, if one of these days go to another school district and work, and theirs is very good for my issue, you know, but when you factor it all together, when you look at the truck and the benefits and the hours, again, like I said, it was one of those things I couldn't turn down. I had to go try it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I know David Wilkinson works with you, and he was our district athletic trainer.
Right.
And it's a pretty good job being the district athletic trainer. You know, from what I understand, it pays well, and it's, you know, fairly flexible with hours because you work a lot of late nights.
Right.
And, you know, he said, hey, I got to bounce. I'm getting, you know, a pay raise and all this other stuff, and it's best for my family.
Right.
So I could only assume that, you know, like you just said, you get to spend time with your daughter as in these years that before she takes off.
Yeah, not saying I don't want her to get out of the house, but yeah, you know. But yeah, I think, you know, as I was telling people I was leaving, they were all mad at me, jokingly mad at me, but they were also jealous because I got this offer and, you know, they were not doing that. And, but you just, with all those, you put all those things down and you sit there and, you know, when I was talking to my wife about it, it's like, how do you say no? You look at the hours and, you know, again, and all that stuff. You can't. You just don't go, hey, you want a job? Yeah, okay. You know, you don't just jump at it. You got to sit down and look at it. But like I said, I don't get to use my skills. I've learned some other stuff that's always beneficial. I get to meet some great people. You know, I knew you guys, but now that I'm around you guys more and more, that's a bonus on both sides, I think. And so I'm meeting and interacting with a lot more people that is good professionally, no matter what. And it's just been a great deal so far.
Yeah, it's different because in your job, you get, like you said, you get to meet more people. You get to meet us at a different level.
Right.
Whereas when we're in school, working in a school, we're really only,
you kind of got blinders on,
associate with the ones we actually play.
Right.
And the ones that are in our district.
Right.
So therefore, and we only see the others at, you know, conferences or whatever.
Exactly.
Else.
Yeah.
And like at that, I'm sure you've been at Minute Maid conference the last couple of years, right?
Didn't go last year. We were on vacation. I won't be there this year because of vacation. But yeah, I go there. I've been to all but three of, or all but two of them so
right,
far.
And I think I've been to all but one or two of them. And I don't know that I've ever talked to you before. And so, I mean, we were at the same places. We do the same job.
Right.
But we just,
you're like, I've heard that person. Don't really know them. And, you know, next time we'd be like, hey, what's going on? How are
you? You may see them at conferences or see them at GHATS, but you don't really know them.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless you actually work, interact and work with
them. Right. Hey, that's so-and-so, but yeah, I don't know them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just know them because who, where they go, you know, the
right.
school they work at, and, you know, you might know them for a little while, or you played them once, 1 year, you know, 2 years because you were in football, and then you don't play them again for...
You hadn't seen them in 6 years on the field,
on the field.
Yeah.
But you just, it's like an acquaintance, mm-hmm. a colleague acquaintance. But,
right.
Yeah, but your job allows you now to meet more athletic trainers and actually get to, you know...
Right.
You know, relate and talk.
Right. Yeah. And with what I do now, you know, for instance, I was at South Houston yesterday, and I've known Michelle for a long time, but I was probably in that training room for 2 hours, you know, and I may come over here one day and be here an hour and a half, and the next time y'all are busy, so I'm here 15 minutes, you know, who knows? But it allows you, if things are going good, to sit down and just talk. Doing something like this is very good. You know,
I mean, I've known you for a long time.
A long time,
but,
right.
But we really didn't know.
We were that professional, you know, opponent acquaintance versus.
We knew each other back when we were in the district together.
Right.
That's when we first met.
Right. But we know each other. We'd walk up to each other and talk, but it wasn't like, hey, last week, blah, 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 blah. You don't have that like you do now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, you changed jobs quite a few times over your 20 years
experience.
Yeah,
so. As I jokingly said at GHATS giving out award, my employer this week is, honestly, I see myself at this point today, if you take today as the benchmark, working for Memorial Hermann. In the same capacity, I don't know. I'm not opposed to a challenge. You know, I think that's good. But today, right now, I don't see myself doing something else. Now, you know, family matters may change that. Who knows? You can't. I don't have a crystal ball. I wish I did, but then if I did, I wouldn't be working because I'd be loaded and, you know, could be hanging out at a beach somewhere. But I see myself doing this. I'm enjoying what I'm doing a great deal.
Sounds cool.
Right on. All right, so if someone wanted to be, like, what got you the offer from Dr. Lowe to go work for him, or this offer from Memorial Hermann, like what could somebody do to put themselves in a position to get your job when you retire or when something else comes up?
I'm glad you asked. In my opinion only, I think the way you get these type jobs, or any job in a manner of speaking to a certain degree, is you've got to be involved. Okay, like it said in the intro, I'm the Region 6 Board of Director for TSATA, which is Texas State Athletic Trainers Association. I'm the past president of GHATS. Before that, I was a regional representative of GHATS. I've been on the secondary school committee for SWATA. I've given talks at different conferences. I think you have to be involved, number one, because if you just stay in your own little world, similar to what Bill and I were just talking about, knowing each other but not knowing each other, if you just stick within your own little comfort zone, nobody knows you. How did I get the job with Lowe? I sent him patients. And we talked and we interacted. I enjoy learning. It's much more fun when you get to pick the topic than your teacher's telling you what you have to learn, but that's part of the world. But I would go down during the summer, back when you could pull this off, when the regulations weren't as bad, and I would go watch surgeries with him. And we would talk and we would interact, and that got me the job offer with him. And I got the job offer with Memorial Hermann, yes, because I worked for Dr. Lowe in the past and we had a good relationship, but because they knew me and knew and felt that I could go into an area where I knew some people and we could help and develop those relationships and increase those relationships with other schools. But if you're just in your own, my personal opinion, again, if you're in your own little world and you never branch out, you're not going to conferences, you're not talking to those people, you're not volunteering to help at GHATS and doing those other things, your chances of that happening are slim just because they don't know who you are. And what's the old saying? It's not what you know, it's who you know. That entirely holds true about 99.9999%. You know, not saying you stand up on a table and yell, I'm so-and-so to a room of people, you know, to get them to know who you are. That doesn't work, you know, but getting yourself out there and being seen and saying, hey, this guy's not a nut job, or, you know, they're a good person. They could help us and we could help them.
Right on.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I think that this podcast is one way for me to get to meet people, because, you know, I've had people from chiropractor, I had Rice University's Don Stuckey, and you know, a lot of different people, and we have different, lots of different people planned. Like next week we're talking to a guy that runs a staffing company. You know, I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with athletic training, but it's about how to get hired, or, you know, ways to be employed.
Right.
And so, you know, there's just lots of people that I get to meet and talk to, and, you know, introduce the kids to through this thing. And, you know, now these kids know you if they just happen to be at, you know, one of the Memorial Hermann clinics or something like that. Like, oh, hey, I remember you. I met you when you came over.
Or saw me standing on the sideline or whatever. When But if you take the staffing thing about how to get hired with what I just talked about, what are all your counselors in school talking about you need to do for college admission? What is it?
Community service.
Community service. Extra stuff, right? Well,
The more you can put on your transcript and your application,
the better. Right. What is a transcript in your application? It's a resume. You know, and so how are you going to get into the school of your choice or the program of your choice with very basic stuff really correlates to how are you going to get a job with basic stuff. Now, obviously, coming out of school, you don't have this wide body of work to go off, but they can look at, well, you were on the student of this, or you were involved in this committee, or you did this, or whatever, and they go, okay. You know, they're not just in the background. I'll admit, I was that guy that at SWATA, and I think both of y'all know what I'm talking about here in a second, that for the first few years of my life, sat in the back of the room and complained all the time, but never was involved. And, you know, and finally somebody basically said, shut up and either get involved or stay shut up. And so I said, okay, you know, I'll get involved, and it is the greatest thing I've ever done. Is it time consuming? At times, yes, it is. But you also, you know, it's beneficial in a lot, you get a lot more out of it, probably, you know, than you ever thought you were going to get out of it. But you've got to be involved and be seen and heard in a good way and be known. I firmly believe that.
All right. So I know you've been in a lot of different places. So, Sarah, I wanted to ask you.
What is one of the most common injuries you've seen?
Ankle sprain. You know, hand, finger issues. To me, ankle sprain is the most common thing you're going to see. Obviously, I mean, is there a sport out there that you don't have the a chance of spraining your ankle? And we could throw swimming in there, you know, do a flip turn, you do it. But every sport has some kind of jump cut component to it. So that's to me, the most common thing.
What advice would you give to someone who's thinking about taking sports medicine as a career?
Do it. Look into it. Understand it's not a 40-hour-a-week job. I think the most importantly, that's it. Sports medicine is a very broad, encompassing umbrella of professions. But if you look at it from an athletic training sports medicine standpoint, it's not a 40-hour-a-week job. It's not a I-get-holidays-off job. Y'all have learned some of that already. You know, it's a I'm-working-weekends job. But at the same time, it's a very rewarding job. Yes, my hours are better, but don't be afraid of the hours if you're really interested in that. Look into it. You know, a lot of places you can manipulate your hours to benefit yourself. I mean, that just, let's face it, Tuesdays and Fridays in the spring, you know what you're doing. You know,
unless it's raining,
right? But then you know what you're doing on Saturday,
right?
Or Wednesday,
right? And you weren't scheduled to work Saturday, and now you got to cancel that family outing because you now have to work Saturday. But again, you don't shy away from it because of the hour. Look at small business owners that start a business. Do you think they're working 40 hours a week?
No,
they're working easily double that. You know, and so I think the biggest thing with sports medicine or anything else, educate yourself about it. And then once you feel like that's something you want to do, jump in and let's go. Don't shy away from it. Once you know, if you commit and get in there and get after it and really confirm if that's for you or not. And then if it is, have fun with it.
What do you consider your greatest accomplishment so far?
Wow. I mean, I can look at that a bunch of different ways. Being elected president of GHATS would be one of them. Being able to win multiple state championships or being part of multiple state championships. I don't know. And it's not winning the state championship that was, oh, I'm a state champion now. I think it's really watching those kids go through what they did for that year, the celebration, all that of the state championship, and the run that goes with it is good. Being offered the job I've got right now, I think, is part of that. So it's different. It varies. Being asked to speak at conferences, especially being asked to speak at those that I've already been to, it means I wasn't as horrible as I thought I was. And, you know, they actually thought they got something educational out of it, and I get to come back the next year. So I think Grace the Consul is a great question and a tough one at the same time. What when I got out of school, Bill, I don't know about you and Jeremy, I don't know about you, but when you get out of school, what's the one thing? Hey, I want to tape some ankles, and I want to run out on the field and help somebody that's hurt. All right, now you've been doing it a while. It's like, crap, I don't want to tape another ankle, and I don't want to have to run out on the field.
That's why we teach our kids to tape.
Yeah.
You know? Last night, one of the soccer players was complaining about, how come you're not running out there? I'm like, look, my job is done best when I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, I say I've got a good day when I'm bored. You know, it's a good game. Or as I used to say to my head coach that would gripe about too many kids in the training room, I said, my goal in life is to show up in the morning, read a book all day, and never leave my office except to eat lunch and then go home and never have seen a kid. It doesn't work that way, but that's the goal, you know. But now what you want to do and what you think is good is totally different from when you were young. You know, I want to win state championships. I want to do this. Like now I'm like, man, you know, I want to have a good group of kids. I want a good group of coaches. You know, I have a good group of coworkers. That's a good time now. You know, it's different as you get older. You know, what do you want you've got a young kid. What do you want your kid to do now? Stop crying. You know, what do you want him to do in 10 years is totally different, you know? So.
Right.
Could be like Jeremy. What do you want Jonah to do when he talks? I actually really want to understand what he wants.
Right. I didn't understand my daughter till she was 3. You know, and then we could communicate with each other.
And then he's got to start all over with the new ones.
Yep. Another one on the way.
Didn't learn your lesson the first time, did you?
No, yep, we're going to go for a third, too, eventually.
Oh,
so.
Lord. I'm one and done.
Wow. I got too much love for just one kid.
Yeah.
We actually plan on adopting, so we plan on adopting the third. So, okay. Little sidetrack there, but, you know, that's what makes these things fun. Elda, you have...
Do you ever think about changing careers?
Since I've been in it, at one point, yes, I did. I thought about actually becoming a police officer. And then went, I can't really do anything other than this career-wise. Honestly, I don't know what else I would do. And I'd truly, if I thought I needed to change careers, I'd go get aptitude tested. You know, and they might say, hey, you need to go do X, Y, and Z. What you're doing now, you're horrible at. Or whatever. I don't know. But really, once I got into it, there wasn't, you know, anything else that I thought I needed to be doing. I was telling Bill earlier, I did entertain joining the military out of college. Sometimes I wish I would have, because I'd be at retirement age right now. But then I'd have to get a second job. But athletic training is what I am. I know that. And I've been lucky enough to be in different realms of the athletic training environment, you know, to sample those and experience those.
All right.
Do you enjoy working with people from all over the district?
Yeah. I think in this profession, you have to enjoy working with people regardless. Like I said, it's...
You don't have to like them. You can enjoy working with them.
Well, true.
There's
okay.
Some we don't like.
Some go, not them again. Yeah, but it's like the same athlete that keeps coming in the training room and nothing's wrong with them. But, I enjoy it a lot. And everybody's, you know, and everybody's different, and I think that's what's fun. To me, it's fun to go to a football game or walk in a train room and just see how it operates with that athletic trainer and that school, you know, football game. How much stuff do they bring? You know, I was a kitchen sink guy, but that's just my mentality. You know, what do they do in the train room? What do they have? What do they deal with? You know, that's all fun to me and just seeing how they do certain things. And just, again, getting to talk to everybody and interact is a lot of fun.
So we're... about to have to let these kids go for lunch because they usually go in about a minute, but I think we'll...
Oh, write them a pass.
Well, it's lunch. And so actually, we give them a little bit of extra time because we're kind of way down here. But do you guys have any other questions you came up with? Anybody? All right, so do you have any parting thoughts on athletic training, sports, pets, ways to not get burnout, that kind of thing?
You know, as far as burnout, you've got to have a hobby. You know, for a lot of people, hobbies change too with your kids. That, you know, I don't want to become a little league dad with my daughter and her music, but I like to play golf, and that helped me get away and clear my head a little bit. I'm a reader. That's somewhat of a hobby for me. You know, I can get all those thoughts out and just get into a book and not think of anything else other than that character and what's going on in that. And I think you've got to step away, whether it's going to lunch during the school day sometimes or whatever it is, you've got to be able to step away and clear your head, or you will go crazy. I mean, you teenagers do that to us. So,
So all right, there's going to be a little bit of noise because the kids are going to walk out, but we're going to continue with Bob. We have just a little bit more. So excuse their noise as they dismiss. So real quick, thanks sports medicine class for being here, for all your contributions. And I'm sure we'll be seeing Bob on the sidelines and everything for the year on. So, I guess I think it's time to wrap up. So, you know, we want to make sure we thank Bubba. Bubba, thanks for coming out. And
my pleasure. Anytime.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to try and, before the end of this year, have you come back and we'll talk about overuse injuries, because Bubba was talking to me for probably 20 minutes before.
That was my soapbox.
Yeah.
So, and I was way up high on that sucker, too.
Yeah, so we'll let him get right back up on there, and I'll throw some little fuel to the fire, and, you know, get Bill to add some stuff in. And it'll be really good to hear, because I enjoyed hearing it. I wish we were recording what he was saying earlier for today. Yeah, or I don't know, cool. Maybe I should have been recording anyways, just chopped it up or something. But
yeah, you could have been recording. Always you want to record Bubba, because you never know what he's going to say.
Well, you're not
might be able to hold it for future reference.
You're not the only person that said that about me. I don't know. There's a pattern there.
So, of course, we want to thank our official healthcare provider of Pasadena Independent School District, Memorial Hermann Hospital System. Is that right? Is it hospital system or
Memorial Hermann Southeast Hospital?
Memorial Hermann Southeast Hospital.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, they've really done a great job of providing us with resources, concussion management team. You know, doctors. They trained some of the other doctors on how to deal with the concussion, so that we can send them to, you know, Dr. Kirkwood, that kind of thing. And so they trained him, so he's kind of the official concussion doctor. And then any orthopedic stuff, we send to Dr. Crumby. You know, we call the ER, we call Bubba. So they really, like, for us, it's really cool what they've provided for us and the way they've set it up and put it all in line. And so I want to, you know, definitely thank Memorial Hermann for their commitment to education, to athletics, and to taking care of our kids. And so,
and that has actually gotten better as we have just recently brought on Summer Ott, the neuropsychologist, to head our concussion management program.
All right.
It has an official long title that I can't remember. It's like the Iron Man concussion. I haven't committed it to memory yet, but she's on board, and that's actually, we're going to streamline some of the impact stuff with you guys as we're working on now to actually provide better care in that realm as we move forward.
Awesome.
Yep. So again, yeah, it's been really good, and I'm glad, you know, that we have this chance to talk with Bubba. And again, we'll have him back soon, and just let him.
Yeah.
I'll just hit record and let him go. I won't even have to say anything.
Yeah,
just be honest.
Just
you got to nudge me in a direction or two every now and then. But,
So, all right, Bill, did you come up with your?
Oh yeah, Bubba kind of gave me an idea of some philosophical for that could apply to athletic training, could apply to anybody in their career, is to always make sure that you, no matter what you do in your life or your career choice, is to always take time out for yourself. And that would be whether it's reading, a hobby or whatever, or, you know, spending time with the Lord, whatever, anything, just so that you get away from your job is probably the best to keep your sanity. And there are some people that just jump into this business of athletic training and they just go crazy, you know, work, and they're out of the profession in, you know, 4 or 5 years because they burn themselves out, or they do too much, and then they expect them to do this all the time.
Right.
They can't say the word no after they said yes, 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 yes. So to make sure you always keep your mind healthy or keep your body healthy, just take time for yourself.
That always makes me think of Kara at Kempner.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was telling us some terrible stuff. She was working basically 6 to 10 every day, like 6 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Right. Well, that's Fort Bend.
Doing work at home and you know, teaching class and doing all this other stuff.
She was like a department head plus...
The girls' athletic director.
Yeah, she was doing... It's like she was doing more than just athletic training. That's kind of like what we felt like when we were doing classroom and athletic training. It was just too much.
Well, and they say you're no good at any of them at that point.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
They're like, well, what do you expect?
Yeah,
you know,
you're only partially doing
the
job. So.
I mean, realistically, if you look at it that way from an educational standpoint, in some ways, the athletic trainer should be on the same level as a nurse. You don't have classes; you have your athletic health care to take care of.
Right.
You know, but those models are hard to change. Change is difficult in a lot of different ways, and
it took 30 plus years for our district to do it.
You know, and there's still
straight
more that needs
it.
To be done.
Yeah, there's still more.
And, but, you know, as long as we fight the battle the right way, it'll happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Keep plugging. Hopefully it'll get done before I retire.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's excellent right now. I wouldn't complain about the way we have it here.
No, we have it
pretty
really
high
good
school.
Right now. So.
Right. But, you know, and how you have it here versus another school in this district is going to be different, but you have a different clientele of students. You have a different administration. You know, I've always said you can't cookie cut what a district does in a lot of ways, athletic training wise, because the battles are different. To me, it's like telling the football coaches at every school they're going to run the same offense and defense.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work that way. There are certain set standards and protocols you're going to do. Concussion management protocol for one. You have to do certain things. But how you handle your work schedule or your coverage, how you like to do your coverage on this campus is going to be different than how they want to do it in another school in this district or another school somewhere
else. That's true.
You know?
That's true. You have to.
You got to adapt.
You got to adapt it and conform it to the people that are actually doing the job.
Well, you know, how many kids ride the bus versus how many kids drive determines your morning treatments.
Right.
You know,
a huge problem here because most of them walk or ride the bus.
Right. So they're not going to get here at 6:45 or whatever time it is. You know, now at Kingwood Park, I got there at 6 because that's when swimming started. And they were getting in the pool at 6:15, you know. I mean, so, but that's what I did, you know. But at another school in that district, they're not worried about, they're not getting in the pool at that point. They're not having those, you know, athletes start that early, so they're not getting there at that time. Not meaning I think they ought to be there. No. What is their school requirement? You know, when how do they work their football practices different than how we work ours?
Right.
You know, certain things are consistent. We're going to follow the 8-hour rule. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. After that, hey, you know.
8-hour rule?
It's
8 hours practice a week, right?
It's a recommendation. You know, it's not. You know, but those, you know, the what is it?
We get on that soapbox.
we're going to run out of tape before long on this one. But you know.
That's a good thing about recording digitally because there's no tape.
Yeah. There is no tape.
I could run out of computer space, but I think there's like several gigs of.
Well, it's tape, gigs, it's all the same. But, you know, everybody, you know, every situation's different, you know, and your coaching personalities are different. Your athletic training personalities are different. You know, how I'm going to handle an acute knee injury with X and Y going on that knee is going to be different than how y'all are going to handle it. That's just how either we were trained and educated or how we've developed over time. And that's a good thing. You know,
it kind of makes me think of what you were talking about doing is having a CEU type workshop, but it's just you bring together the people that are here in this district and say, hey, what works best for you?
Right.
That'll work for me. Maybe it won't. Well,
right.
Let me just see it.
But maybe I can manipulate that. Yeah, we were going to do that until they tore up the parking lot at the stadium. But, But, you know, I always talk to people all the time. Hey, what's your philosophy on this? You know, I called a guy Monday driving into work when I was working on a PowerPoint. What's your philosophy on this? Okay, we're on the same page. All right. You know, and ask somebody else, what's your philosophy? They were a little different. And I'd be like, why? And they'd tell me, I go, that makes sense, but here's what I think. And they go, that makes sense. You know, and so it's not like, well, you don't agree with me, so you're stupid. It's, let's look at, you know, let's look at what each of us think and how we do and how we react and do things and go, oh, I kind of like that. You know, like you talk about, like I want to do. How do I evaluate the knee? Well, I do this, and it works for me for this. And if I have this problem, this is what I do. You know, and you go, oh, I've never thought about that. Or you go, well, I've always done this. And I go, oh, that's a good idea. You know, and so now yeah. I change what I do or you change what you do to try to incorporate some of those and see if you can learn it and get comfortable with it. You know,
I mentioned earlier, or I mentioned before, I worked some like jobs on the side, and I always talk to this one guy that I work a lot of the stuff with. His name is Derek Cook out at Sweeney.
I know Derek.
Do you know Derek?
Derek was my assistant for a semester when my other was on maternity leave.
That's right. I remember because we talked about that this last tournament. And, you know, he's real close relationship with his doctor, and I think that's Dr. I can't remember now. He told me. But so he has a lot of questions. You know, and the doctor gets to show him a lot of stuff. He sees a lot of surgeries. You know, the doctor has a lot of hands-on training for him. And so I pick his brain, you know, hey, how do you do this? Or how do you do, you know, I was saying there was a girl with some big legs and we wanted to check her ACL, and it was just hard for me because I couldn't really get my hands all the way around. And he was like, well, you could try this, this, or this. So, you know, that just that kind of thing, like, oh, yeah, I remember learning that, but I just haven't used it.
Right.
And so I love doing this kind of thing, talking to people or going to the workshops where you get to do hands-on stuff, you know. So,
yeah,
it's all about meeting people, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It
is. You got to go. I mean, you can't. I don't go. I go to Minute Maid every year because, number one, not because it's sponsored by Memorial Hermann, but because it's a very good conference.
Right.
You know, where else can you sit down and talk to world-class orthopedic surgeons who are on the cutting edge of surgery and different things and talk to them one-on-one for 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 minutes? You know,
right.
You can't in a lot of places, and you can there. And the information they give you is good. It's not theory. It's in practice. We've done this. Here's what we know works, or here's what, you know, if you feel this on a knee or a shoulder, we're pretty much telling you it's this injury. You know, that's good stuff. You know, mm-hmm. World-class therapist. Here's how I would exercise that. Here's how I would work that. You know, here's why I wouldn't do this. That's, you know, you can take that back the next day and utilize that.
All right, so believe it or not, this is not a commercial for Minute Maid Conference, which comes in at the first weekend of June, or for actually Monday
fourth
and Tuesday
fifth.
Of June.
Yeah,
it is not a commercial, but I would highly recommend it.
I kind of like it because we're going to get out of final exams. So.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Y'all get out late, too. Yeah,
yeah. We don't get out to the end of that week, so we'll get out Monday and Tuesday to go to that conference.
And have half days the rest of the week?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I think so.
They're at the end of the last 2 days or half days. But.
And so, yeah, it's another excellent benefit of being
out of the
official
fight.
Healthcare provider of Pasadena ISD.
Come join our conference, yeah.
Yeah, Memorial Hermann is providing that as one of our, you know, continuing education opportunities. So, again, it's if you have the chance to hook up with Memorial Hermann and get them to sponsor your district, then do it. I think it's just that easy. Just ask them. They'll say yes.
Yeah, okay. It's not quite that easy.
All right.
Yeah, don't ask me because I'm not making that decision. I can tell you that.
Okay, so I think that'll bring us to a close. Again, thanks again, Bubba, for coming.
No problem,
Bubba.
Anytime.
Great conversation. And then we're definitely going to have you back to talk about overuse injuries, and he's specifically highlighting Little League baseball, and so maybe we'll get him to talk specifically about that and then some of the other overuse stuff, but that time will come later. So for now, if you want to contact us, you can check out our website, www.pasadenaisd.org/phs/athletic training.
Or you can follow us on Twitter at PHS Sports Med. You can use Google Plus at PHS Athletic Training. Or you can check us out on Facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training. And if you want to talk to us personally, like one-on-one, you can call our office phone, which is 713-740-0310, extension 01312, and we will get back with you or we will talk to you personally.
All right, and then I just got an email from the people that host the app that I made for Android, and I only have 500 installs. So if you want to download the app, you better do it quick. Otherwise, because I have to pay like $500 or something like that to get unlimited downloads and all this other stuff, and I don't know that I'm gonna have that many people. So if you want to download the app, you better do it now. Don't miss the chance. It's going to be a collector's item.
Or you're going to have to input it in by hand.
Oh, you can't have that.
All right, so I would say that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.